Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, December 12th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV.
Well, today we are thrilled to be able to give you an update on the USS Liberty story. We are honored to have with us Rear Admiral Merlin Starring. He was a former Judge Advocate General of the U.S. Navy. He's treasurer of the USS Liberty Alliance. He's also a tireless, outspoken advocate for the USS Liberty crew, and he's been instrumental in preparing and submitting a 10-page letter to the Department of the Navy and the U.S. Secretary of the Army regarding the USS Liberty incident. So we welcome Rear Admiral Merlin Starring to the show.
How you doing, sir?
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be on you.
Thank you very much. We have a lot of questions for you, so we're going to get right to it. I'm going to start right at the beginning. Earlier this year, a member of the House of Representatives, Rob Simmons, made an inquiry to the Department of the Navy, and he got a response in March from the Navy that said that the only investigation into the USS Liberty attack was conducted by the Navy Court of Inquiry, and that runs contrary to a lot of reports we've heard over the years that there have been numerous inquiries. This is significant for the Liberty crew, isn't it?
It is most significant because there have been many statements by others of various stripes concerning the number of times that this has been investigated. It's all old hat and so on, but it had never, none of those investigations that they purported to cite really were U.S. government investigations. Many of them were not investigations at all.
Uh-huh.
And we were very pleased to finally to have the Department of the Navy responding to the Congress and saying the only U.S. government investigation of the Liberty attack was the U.S. Navy Court of Inquiry in 1967.
Mm-hmm. Now, Admiral Starring, I read the conclusions of the 2003 Independent Commission Report, which was compiled by Admiral Maurer, General Davis, yourself, and Ambassador Akins, and the results are so damning and so conclusive that I have to wonder, how can the Navy, the Congress, the United States government continue denying that something happened without taking action? It's criminal, isn't it?
Well, we certainly regard it as being criminal, and that it is a deliberate cover-up. I think that whatever was done at the time by the U.S. government investigation, by the U.S. government administration back in 1967, was to shortcut the proceeding and to squelch any comments that were inconsistent with what had been delivered to them in through diplomatic channels, mm-hmm. for example, and to have the U.S. government since that time simply fall back upon the decisions that were apparently made by the government administration in 1967 and say, no, this is all old hat, I think is indeed criminal. I think it's a dastardly cover-up.
Yes. Admiral, after the Liberty attack, the White House feared a conflict with Israel and deliberately prevented the U.S. Navy from coming to the defense of the USS Liberty by recalling the 6th Fleet military support. Now, if they hadn't recalled the 6th Fleet, it's conceivable there would have been a lot less loss of life and a lot less bloodshed, but it's also conceivable that we would have been in a combat with Israel. Isn't that correct?
I do not have any authoritative means of answering that question. I think I don't know whether there would have, what the results would have been. This I do know, that apparently the fighter aircraft that were launched from the U.S. Navy aircraft carriers in the Mediterranean at the time were launched in time and could have reached the Liberty's location in time to have been there before the torpedo attack,
yeah.
which ultimately did strike the Liberty and which killed 25 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and had those fighter planes been permitted to proceed to their destination, which was the location of the Liberty, then certainly that would have affected the ability of the Israeli forces to launch that torpedo attack, and I think that there would not have been that torpedo damage and that loss of life.
I agree. Now, Admiral Starring, let's return to June 8, 1967, and if possible, try to put yourself in the mind of the Israeli government and the Israeli military. They did everything humanly possible that day to sink the USS Liberty, but they couldn't do it. At some point, do you think they said, oh my God, we have trouble, because if they would have got rid of the evidence, they could have just blamed it on Egypt or somebody else. But at some point, do you think we have some trouble on our hands now?
Well, what is your question?
Well, what do you think they were thinking when they got to a certain point?
Oh, I really don't hold myself out as being able to project into their mindset or their actions, and so I'll just have to leave that to others who are in different aspects of the matter.
Okay.
In his endorsement of the Navy investigation, Admiral McCain found that the Liberty suffered an unprovoked attack by Israeli air and naval forces in international waters. The U.S. Secretary of State then communicated to the government of Israel, and he said that the attack must be condemned as an act of military irresponsibility. Now, in light of the fact that they were a neutral vessel in international waters, isn't there a provision that seeks to prevent use of deadly force by mistake?
Oh, I think there's no question about that. I mean, the forces of either of the combatants in that brief war would have had no legitimate reason to attack the neutral vessel of the United States, no matter where it was, and certainly not in the high seas, as this was.
So
it would have been totally unjustified to have attacked it.
So he characterized it as military irresponsibility, when in fact it was an act of war, it was a war crime.
It was a deliberate attack.
We believe that, yes.
Yeah. Well, since we're on the topic of John McCain, there's been a lot of talk that the Arizona senator is going to run for president in 2008, and we also know that his father was instrumental, one of the people instrumental in the cover-up of this deliberate attack on the USS Liberty. Admiral Starring, has anybody gone up, to your knowledge, to John McCain and put his back up against the wall and said, when are we going to do something about this?
All I can say about that is that I know that the survivors of the Liberty attack have, over all of these years since the attack, communicated, petitioned, written to members of Congress. I know that some of them have written to Senator McCain, and I know that the responses that they received from him simply conveyed an inquiry that he perhaps had made to the Department of the Navy in response to their questions, mm-hmm. and then he simply turned them off and indicated no disposition whatsoever to reopen the matter. That's all I know about it. I have not had any personal communication or contact with the senator.
Okay.
After the attack, Admiral, you received the written record from the Navy Court of Inquiry, and you got through about a third of it when the emissary reappeared the next day and asked you when you'd be finished with it, and you told him that it was incomplete, terribly flawed, and you hadn't had a chance to fully review it yet, but you didn't seem to find anything to support the Navy Court of Inquiry's conclusions from what you'd read so far. What happened after that?
Yes, it's accurate that when I was given the record for my review, it was sent to me in the hands of Captain Ward Boston, who was the Navy Judge Advocate Counsel to the Court of Inquiry, and he brought that document to me and said that Admiral McCain had sent him up to bring it to me for my review, which would have been certainly an expected responsibility of mine. So I I did indeed sweep everything aside, knowing the importance of the matter, and turn to on the review of the record. Mm-hmm. And when Captain Boston returned to me about 18 hours later, about 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning on June the
18th.
10th, I believe. No, that's not quite right.
The 18th.
18, right. I think it is. By that time, I had only been able to get through about 200 pages of that 650-page record. In going through it, I was looking, most importantly, for evidence, for testimony, for documents that the court had received in evidence, and upon which they presumably had based the conclusions that they stated. I had before me the list of their conclusions, and as I started, I was alert for evidence that was in support of those conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
As I first started my review of the record, I was indeed, shocked and chagrined to find that it was cosmetically a very poor piece of work. But that was superficial, except that it was important in the sense that when that document was ultimately sent back to the seat of government in Washington to be seen by and to be considered by dozens of high-ranking and the highest-ranking officials of the government, for them to come into it and find that there were typographical errors, that there were miscitations, that there were awkward phraseology that was attributable to the court. Those were things that were superficial and would have detracted immensely from its credibility.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And but they were also things that, in due course of the processing of the record there at headquarters of Commander-in-Chief Naval Forces Europe in London, they could have been, many of them could have been taken care of, so that that record would have been something that the Navy could advance back to its superiors with pride and, yeah, and with confidence.
Well, Admiral Starring,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, we know that the Navy likes to take care of its own and they don't like to see injustice. So this is an opinion question. How much resentment and anger do you think there was in the Navy and the military about this cover-up at the time that it happened in 1967 and also today?
Well, I think that back in 1967, I don't know how wide the cover-up aspect, how widely that was perceived,
mm-hmm,
in the Navy. Now, certainly, the Navy was very much alert to what had gone on and to the fact that the ship ultimately limped back to the States and that her crew were scattered widely throughout the naval stations and ships all over the world. One sailor, one naval officer to a particular destination so that they would not be getting their heads together. That was just
right,
a fact that was could have been apparent to them. But so far as cover-up is concerned, I don't know what they would have, the Navy in general would have known at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, I think that now there is a great deal of appreciation by the personnel of the Navy who learn of the true facts underlying the handling of that investigation and what happened in the cover-up aspects. I'm sure that they are incensed.
Admiral, on June 8th, 2005, the 38th anniversary of the USS Liberty attack, you and the Liberty surviving crew submitted to the Secretary of the Navy and the Department of the Navy and the Secretary of the Army a 10-page letter and war crimes report regarding the Israeli attack. Have you heard anything about where this report is?
Well, first of all, the submission of the war crimes report was not by me. I had a hand in helping the Liberty Veterans Association
okay.
in composing and polishing it, but it was a submission by the Liberty Veterans Association,
okay.
and it was to the Secretary of the Army as the Department of Defense representative, executive in charge of handling reports of war crimes. That was submitted to the Secretary of the Army on 8 June 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was subsequent to that time. It was in July, it was on July the 29th that I personally delivered to the Office of the Secretary of the Navy the 10-page letter from Admiral Mark Hill,
mm-hmm.
the chairman of the Liberty Alliance, and signed by me as the treasurer of the Liberty Alliance, in which we discussed the facts which reflected upon the quality and the legitimacy of the Court of Inquiry that had been conducted by the Navy in 1967.
Well, since we're...
At that time, I delivered... also an information copy of that presentation to the Office of the Secretary of the Army because I knew
mm-hmm.
that the Secretary of the Army had before him the problem, the question that had been presented to him by the Liberty Veterans Association.
Mm-hmm. Well, Admiral Sterling,
go ahead.
If the truth about Israel's deliberate attack on the USS Liberty was made known to the American public on a widespread scale in the year 2005 or 2006, what do you think the reaction would be by the American public, and also how would it affect our relationship with Israel?
Well, I would not purport to assess what our relationship with Israel might be or how it might be affected. I think that if the true facts of the attack upon the Liberty in 67 and of the nature and quality of the investigation and the actions that were taken upon the basis of it were widely known, I think that any reasonable person could see that this is not the way the United States government should treat the sailors and the forces,
right.
the armed forces that are serving the American people.
That's very well said.
It has been well established that Israel is guilty of war crimes. They fired upon firefighters and rescuers on the ship's deck. They fired upon wounded and their rescuers, as well as firing into the life rafts. So, are there any statutes on prosecution of war crimes, and is this conceivable? We're in a time of war, and we're even more in the entrenched with Israel than ever before. That is it conceivable that there will be any prosecution this late in the game?
I don't have any idea what the Department of Defense or its agent, the Secretary of the Army, might conclude about action that should be taken. I do know that what has really been asked by the Liberty Veterans Association is that there were war crimes committed in connection with that attack.
Right.
They were not thoroughly investigated or fairly investigated. And as a result, the facts of the matter were actually concealed from the American public. The true
right.
facts of the matter were concealed from the American public and from history.
That's right.
And the survivors of the Liberty. Liberty have in these intervening 38 years encountered a number of difficulties in connection with their retirement, their retirements, their disability benefits, and that sort of thing. They've had to fight to show that they were aboard the Liberty.
Right.
Some of them, it is really been a very unfair and burdensome thing that was placed upon these men, and these survivors were people who were entitled to the greatest respect.
That's
for
right.
Things that they did to save that ship and to save their own lives.
Yeah, it's inconceivable the way they were treated. Now, regrettably, one of your colleagues, Admiral Thomas Moore, died recently, and when I was reading the obituaries that came out subsequent to that, I noticed, especially in a publication like Newsmax, that there was no mention whatsoever of the USS Liberty in these lengthy tributes to him. How does it make you feel when this type of information just seems to go down the Orwellian memory hole? It's erased.
Well, I'll remark about this first of all. I was gratified to be present at Admiral Moore's funeral service at Fort Myer, and the fact that the obituary that was delivered orally there by Admiral Mark Hill at the request of the Moore family did include a very substantial paragraph, let's say, comment concerning Admiral Moore's feelings about and efforts concerning the Liberty and her crew. And I think that it I know that it was an important and a pervading factor in his life. As a matter of fact, I was at that time seeing Admiral Moore in his apartment along with Dr. Tito Howard, the executive director of our Liberty Alliance, probably every 10 days at the most, or sometimes once a week. We conferred with him about various aspects of the efforts of the Liberty Alliance to support the cause of the Liberty Veterans Association and the survivors of that attack. And in those meetings, Admiral Moore was a very active participant that gave us guidance, and we submitted things to him for his approval if we were attempting to contemplating doing them. And when we heard that Admiral Moore had, I believe it was a stroke or an attack of some sort that had placed him in the hospital, which was, that we're talking now, I guess, perhaps about 2 weeks before his ultimate death. We were aware that he was in the hospital. Dr. Howard and I did not have the privilege of going and talking with Admiral Moore in the hospital. The family was keeping that well constricted, but we were receiving reports back that almost every day Admiral Moore would ask members of the family or the ones who did see him how Tito Howard and Roland Starring were doing with the Liberty Alliance.
Oh, that's great.
Still thinking.
Yeah.
Those efforts when he was there in the hospital, and then he passed away with a couple of days later.
Yeah.
Do let us know if there is any progress with this war crimes report. If you get any response back, we'd be very happy to talk about it on the show again. And everyone, we urge you to go to usssliberty.org. There are many, many important documents to read there, and you can familiarize yourself with all the key players in this whole scenario. Admiral Starring, we thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, and we'll get the documents that you sent up on our website, too, in the near future. And this man here is someone that's still keeping the memory of the USS Liberty alive, and we can't thank him enough for all he's been doing.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you then.